For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Statement by the Israeli Defense Force Military Intelligence Chief Aaron Haliva. The chances of an escalation along the Israeli-Lebanon border could deteriorate into war is not low. He goes on to say Nasrallah, the leader of the Hezbollah terrorist group, is close to making a mistake that could plunge the region into a big war. Nasrallah is close to making this mistake from Lebanon or Syria. Mystery. Over these last days, reports have coming in of Hezbollah fighters in uniforms with the usual paraphernalia of being ferocious have gathered along the Israeli-Lebanese border to demonstrate what? That's why I need Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies to explicate what Nasrallah and Hezbollah think they're achieving with these dusty games. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. The northern border is fertile ground for propaganda. It is also a very large threat because of the rocket forces that are believed to be all through Baqa, all the way to Beirut. But as for ground troops, I never thought of them as particularly ferocious, especially because they'd have to come up against the IDF and the IAF. What was the purpose of this? What did it achieve? All these young men sweating on a Sunday. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Look, Hezbollah actually has fairly well-trained ground forces. Hezbollah has been fighting in Syria on behalf of Bashar al-Assad, the dictator who was nearly overthrown by Sunni fighters. Hezbollah fought alongside the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps of Iran. They also fought alongside Russian irregular forces and Russian regular forces, for that matter. But that included the Wagner Group and others that were there also to shore up the Assad regime. So they have, over the years, they have developed into something of a formidable force. I think you're right in the sense that there is very little chance that they would stand up to the Israeli forces and survive. But nevertheless, they could perhaps carry out some operations that could do some psychological harm to Israel, or at least give the Israelis a sense of a setback. And so, you know, some of the things that we saw along the border during this most recent exercise is they simulated the demolition of the border wall, and fighters streamed through to the other side, simulating that they were going into Israel. And then there was this simulation of taking over of a border post. One of the videos that I saw showed a Hezbollah fighter climbing up to the top of a flagpole, taking down the blue and white Israeli flag and putting in its place the yellow and green Hezbollah flag. They simulated abductions of Israeli soldiers from vehicles that were blown up in front of the journalists and others that were assembled. And then they even did some very weird things on top of that. In some ways, this was a truly bizarre drill where they had the Hezbollah fighters in their fatigues doing some sort of coordinated karate chop routine of ceramic tiles to demonstrate that they're adept at hand-to-hand combat. I'm not sure how much psychological damage that would contribute to the Israelis, but you get a sense writ large that Hezbollah is kind of rattling their sabers and trying to indicate to the Israelis that they are not deterred.
The concern I have, Jonathan, is what is Hezbollah's intentions in the region? There is Iran, there is Syria, there is Hamas and Gaza. There are all kinds of terrorist acts by either lone actors or new organizations in the West Bank. Does Hezbollah integrate with all of that, or is this a standalone military force that has its own geopolitics?
Well, the answer to that, John, is both. And actually, I mean, it's probably worth just mentioning briefly what Hezbollah put on display. This was not just a display of a bunch of rickety old, you know, Soviet era weapons, but rather some very advanced weaponry, recoilless rifles, anti-drone weaponry, rocket launchers, advanced sniper rifles, anti-tank weapons, man pads, vehicles equipped with a lot of this stuff, on the back. In other words, Hezbollah has a formidable military that can stand on its own. And then on top of that, I think it's, you know, important to note that Hezbollah is the glue that binds the kind of menagerie of Iran-backed militias. So these are Shiite militias that are based in Iraq and Syria. We're talking about Hamas, Islamic Jihad, some of the groups in the West Bank, including this most recent one called the Lion's Den. They are a coordinating mechanism, and they even have something that's been widely reported in Israel and around the Middle East right now. They have something that is called the Nerve Center, where they're trying to coordinate the activities of all these different groups with the goal of, at some point soon, waging a multi-front war against Israel. Hezbollah would undoubtedly be at the forefront of that because of their formidable army, because of the weapons that they have, because they have in their possession 150,000 or so rockets. They are, without question, the premier Iran-backed militia in the Middle East.
Because there's something simultaneous, I want to know if there's a dot to connect here. The Arab League welcoming back Bashar al-Assad, a man who is well-known as a war criminal these many years because of the collapse of Syria. Is this demonstration by Hezbollah in some fashion meant to draw attention to or away from Bashar al-Assad? I believe the Arab League is lone in the world for transnational organization to welcome him in any fashion.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, and I don't know whether there's a clear answer. What I would say, though, is that in recent weeks, we have seen the kind of Iran-backed axis flex muscles in ways that I think have been surprising, right? I think that we saw obviously the welcoming of Assad back to the Arab League. On top of that, there was the Iran deal that was struck with the Saudis under the auspices of the Chinese something like a month ago. You've got Iran very briefly enriching uranium to 83% to weapons grade. You have this war between the Iran-backed Islamic Jihad against Israel that lasted for 5 or 6 days just a few weeks ago. There is, I think, an attempt right now on the part of this broader axis, this Iran-led axis, that they are growing in strength, that they do not fear the United States, that they do not fear Israel, and that this region is theirs. There is this attempt by Iran to establish hegemony, or to at least indicate that hegemony is coming. And the question is, will Israel stand up to it? I think, you know, you mentioned Aharon Aliva's comments, the IDF intelligence chief. The Israelis are trying to respond, but there is a sense in general that the region has allowed Iran to grow stronger as well as its proxies.
And 30 seconds, Jonathan, is this foreshadowing? Is it a bluff? Is there a way to tell the difference? 30 seconds.
There's no way to tell the difference. I think it's clear that there are capabilities on the part of Hezbollah and its patron, and there is intent. The question is, when those two things come together, will Israel be ready? Will the United States be ready? Will other actors in the region be ready? It is unclear at this point.
Jonathan Shanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.